What's up, Kotakata Squad? Today we talk to Miso, aka Kurt Cobain. Be sure to check out the YouTube version of this podcast if you want to know how or why he got that name. But we talked to Miso about his 3 years using the immersion method to study Japanese, his anxiety with learning the language in the community, as well as how his experience with music helped his language learning. We actually did this podcast with Miso live, which was super fun. And at the end of the podcast, we did a Q&A with Miso and everyone in live chat. So hope to see some of you there next time to ask some juicy questions. But if you're interested in checking out the Q&A, be sure to check out our YouTube membership or Patreon. Any support helps us out immensely as it takes a long time to produce the podcast. But as always, hope you guys enjoy the podcast.
So can you give us a quick background of who you are and where you're at today?
Okay. I guess I'm Miso. I'm 22. I've been learning Japanese for just over 3 years, I guess. I'm a university student studying electrical computer engineering. I do music stuff. You know, that's kind of one of my big passions and has been for a very long time. I don't know what else there is to say.
Studying Japanese for 3 years, is that all with the immersion-based method? Or
so, did you study? 3 years since I started immersing in high school and stuff. Like, you know, I was kind of a weeb since even like junior school, right? So I'd always like wanted to learn Japanese and not knowing how to go about it, you know, try to, you know, use like the Tofugu resources and try to start Taekim and then you quit because like try to do core decks. And I just didn't have the motivation because I didn't really have like a very good idea of like where that would take me and like, you know, a real sense of progression or whatever. So I just kept on quitting and restarting. 3 years since taking it seriously, I guess.
I see. So would you say now, because a lot of people at the 3 year mark say that they finally feel like they're completely fluent. Would you say that that's the case for you?
What is complete, right? I'd say like I'm pretty fluent in some sense. A lot of the time on Discord, like I'll try to like, you know, pass as Japanese and then like see how long they can figure out till or how long it takes them to figure out that I'm not. Which is a great way to improve your output, I think. But I still get called out frequently enough, not all the time, but quite a lot. I'm definitely not perfect. And there's a lot of improvement to go, but I think I'm at the stage where I feel like I don't have to like, or I don't want to keep on putting off stuff that I want to do with my life because gotta get good at Japanese, right?
Yeah, that makes sense. It's like if you only focus on getting good at the language, you're gonna get to a point where now you're really good at the language, but that's it. It's like when you talk to a Japanese person, there's nothing you can offer to the conversation.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, even if you get native level of Japanese, if you're still like a boring person or whatever, why not speak to any other like random Japanese person who has like no skills or whatever? I guess that's important, is like finding a balance, I guess.
Right. So you'd say that that's not really a goal, like a native level Japanese or anything like that?
I mean, that stuff is tough because I have like complexes about my Japanese, I guess. I hate, so in English, there's a thing called like vowel centralization, which is, you know, a Dogen example is like, instead of saying Tanaka, you say Tanaka, where everything that's not like stressed becomes T-na-ku. And like, obviously I don't do it that badly, but I'll do it enough that I listen to a recording of myself and be like, oh my God, that vowel over there sounds like so like Gaijin, you know? And that stuff irks at me. Like, it hurts my self-esteem. Like, I don't know what else to say. So there's a part of me that's like, you know, once I have a job and I'm getting, you know, paid and stuff, I should save up money and like go, you know, and to put myself through like Seiyu school in Japan or whatever. Yeah. Part of me still thinks that. But it's something that like, it's difficult to get over that, like not being perfect. For me at least.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
So what about like pitch accent specifically? Is that something you focus
on? Yeah. I mean, so since I started immersing, like I was kind of crazy when I started, like I watched Matt's videos and I was under like a false sense of how good I was before I started immersing. So I hadn't finished RTK. I tried to do it in high school because I saw the Abroad in Japan video about it. And I was like, right, that makes so much sense. I'm going to do that, right? And I stopped it after getting like 800 or 900 through it, you know, with full production, with physical flashcards and stuff. You know, and I quit just because it was taking up so much of my life. I was doing it during class, during like lunchtime. I was, instead of hanging out with my girlfriend at the time or like my friends, I would just want to be in the library and make physical flashcards, you know? And so I just cold turkey, like quit. And then when I started immersing, I went back and started it from the beginning again. And then I did, at the same time, I did Take Him. And at the same time, I started sentence mining. So while still doing all that stuff. And then I was like, well, there's monolingual definitions I can understand even at this level. So I might as well like do all the monolingual I can, right? And so, yeah, I basically started the monolingual transition while at the beginning. One of my friends watching the stream says there's no sound.
Oh, really?
Oh, really?
There's no sound?
Apparently.
You think
that would
it's
be
on...
super awkward.
Yeah, I mean,
actually, think... like, I can hear it, like, yeah. I'm like, going through it.
Okay.
I can hear you talk.
Yeah, I can hear okay, it, cool. too.
Yeah, that's a little bit oof. So, yeah, what was I saying?
Yeah, but you say you switched to the monolingual dictionary, like, even in the beginning
yeah.
of yeah. studying Japanese.
Yeah, so, and obviously, so... like, I put a lot of English on the cards and stuff, and I've always yeah. been okay with, like, checking the English if I don't know stuff. But like I guess like I'd watch Matt's videos and then he'd be like, well, you might as well just take the pitch accents right there on the car on the dictionary entry, right? Yeah. And I was like, yeah, she's right, it is right there. I might as well take it, right? And yeah. so like as soon as I started immersing, like it was always like one of those things at the back of my mind, you know.
I see. So you feel like you have a pretty good grasp on like pitch accent and differentiating between different ones?
I mean, I still screw up a lot of stuff.
Right.
But yeah, it's, you know, nice. I'm not terrible at it.
Nice. So what about for Anki? Do you still use Anki and add
yeah.
census cards?
The last couple of months, I haven't really been adding so much cards, which is nice because like I only have like 27 reviews or whatever. But yeah, I guess like I recently just had finals. I finished on Friday. And so, like at my current like level of vocab and stuff, like so I made like 9,500 cards or whatever. It's kind of like I'll make cards, but I'm not like making myself do 10 a day or whatever.
Right.
Yeah.
I guess during your kind of period with Anki so far, would you say you enjoyed it?
At times. Like it's a love-hate relationship, right? Like, because it does so much for you, but there, you know, there's a lot of nights where it's just like, it's getting late and you just like keep on putting it off. And it's just like that huge weight on your shoulders of like, God damn, I got to do my reps. And I would often like put off immersing until I had done my reps and like use it as an excuse not to be productive. Like, I don't want to do my reps. I got to do my reps before I can like do real stuff. Right.
Yeah.
So yeah, like I enjoy making the cards more than I enjoy reviewing them, I think. Catching the Pokemon is like a lot like nicer than like trying to grind it to level 100, if you know what I mean.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
I know what you mean. It's like it's kind of like collecting, like
yeah.
So like it's like you have a collection and you're just trying to collect all the words.
Yeah, I think the novelty of that wears off after a while though.
Yeah. So how many cards do you have right now?
I mean, so for sentence cards, I think like 9-5, including when I did Take Him. So Take Him is like 800 cards. So
right.
I usually just like take my, like if I do that now, I go, how does Anki work again? Manage note types. Yeah, 8854 plus 800, it's like 9-6, right?
Nice.
But then, you know, I've made all kinds of cards. I did, like, you know, I saw Matt talk about how maybe you should do it for Japanese names. And so like I tried that. I tried doing that production. So you'd have the person's face and you should write down their name. Basically, I can't write anymore, by the way. I used to be able to, but I completely, there's like no point in putting myself through the reviews. I tried to learn like hentaikana for a while, like the super old like variations and stuff. I gave up when I realized that there was like 8 variations for each character. So like, no thanks. Yeah, you know, I had like a rare readings deck. I had like a counter deck, you know, made, right. And it's on AnkiWeb for Japanese people. I tried doing that, but like, you know, I did that for a couple months, but I'm just.
Yeah, I think that's like a trap of Anki. It's like you start to not find words in normal immersion. So you think to get better, you have to learn like really rare stuff. But actually, there's still a lot to improve in terms of like speaking and understanding.
For sure.
For just
my vocab's not like infinite, right? Like I was playing what is it called, Zero Escape. I was playing some of those games, and like for the most part it's super easy, but then you know there'll just be like a random words I don't know, like the name of this fish or like whatever, and then you know I'll make cards like Samma. I actually don't know the fish accent. It might be Samma. Let me double check that. But there's still tons of words, but you know even natives don't know words, so I think for me, it's just about like not beating myself up about that, and learning just to deal with that inferiority complex of like not being native, and just learning to try to be okay with that. But it's hard.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like Anki is more useful for like party tricks, almost. Like, I know all the fish kanji.
I've done that when I speak to Japanese people. Yeah. I'd be like, oh well, you know, like because I learn a lot of words from like my input aura. For sometimes I won't know if a word is even common or not, and I'll end up using a word that you don't know. And then like at the time, you know, it's just so pretentious. I'm like, I kind of hate that kind of just like trying to improve yourself, but you know, your ego still wants to do it a bit. Like the word like 勝者, like not like winner, like you know, winning person or whatever. 勝者, like it means like oshare, but it's like super like hard kanji and stuff that I mine from Orimo, like from like a year or so into Japanese, and I'll always like have those words like to like pull out and be like, I know hard words, but it's so stupid, like I wouldn't recommend that.
You see a Japanese person and you see it's time to pull out the words.
Yeah,
no, you've activated my trap card.
It's more like if they ask me about how I'm learning Japanese, then like if, you know, and it comes up in the conversation, then I'll be like, you know, like it's difficult because like Japanese people, like it often feels like they're like looking down on you for being a foreigner a lot of the time. I had an experience where I got scouted. I went to the Japanese embassy thinking I was going to apply for MEXT. I didn't end up applying, but while I was there, there was a Japanese guy who like heard me speak Japanese. And so after I left, like when I was like down in the parkade or whatever, he came up to me and was like, I work at Mazda. Do you want to like exchange line? Because you're like, oh, you're studying engineering. That's cool. Let's just like exchange details. And I didn't hear from him for like a year. And he sends me a message being like, oh, I have a friend who's starting a tech startup. Like, would you be able to like help out like part time or something? And I was like, oh, yeah, sure, I guess. And like I haven't been like seeing them that much because of a whole bunch of reasons. But that was something that like really annoyed me, is they'd always be like, oh, well, you don't have a JLPT. They would like talk up the JLPT N1 so much, they'd be like, oh, even we wouldn't be able to like answer all of them. And then like they pull out their computer and like get me to do like the example questions.
Damn.
And then they're like, oh, I bet you don't know how to read this. And it's like, what was the word? It was like idomu, right? That's really what I hate. It's not that I want to be perfect. I mean, I kind of do, but it's more like I don't want to constantly have to live my life being looked down upon as like, just a foreigner. You're just you're just a poser. You know, you're not real Japanese speaker.
I kind of know what you mean with like the kind of looking down, like, oh, you would understand. You're not Japanese. But I've never like had the experience or heard of like a Japanese person pulling up the JLPT N1 and be like, just how jozu are you? Like, just how jozu do you think you are?
You should have like a game show of that. How jozu are you?
Yeah, I mean, I got all the questions that they wanted me to do right, you know, before they just like. But then they're like, oh, maybe when you graduate, you should go to a, what is it called? Like, not like a senmon gakko, but like, you know, a place where you. No, like a place where you go to like learn Japanese in Japan.
Yeah,
They're like, yeah, maybe you should go to one of those. And I was like, lol, what? Like, what do you expect them to teach me?
Have you thought about taking the JLPT?
I thought about it. I thought it would be good for my CV. But, you know, in my country, so I live in South Africa, right? The only place I can do it is Johannesburg. I live in Cape Town. It's like a, you know, $100 flight. And then, you know, like I have anxiety and stuff. So a huge part of me is like, what if I fail? what happens if I do all of that? You know, I've been learning Japanese for 3 years, you know, sacrificed so much, not gone to the movies with my friends, like, you know, being a complete loser about it. And just like imagining like how my parents would react if I come back failing or whatever. Just be like, you spent this much time and you still whatever. And I know it's like irrational, but it's kind of like there's no good reason for me to make myself do it.
So, yeah, you could, I mean, you could take a practice test at home. Like nobody knows.
Yeah, if you fail. The practice.
Right. Yeah. And, but I think at 3 years it should be no problem, especially like if you had used Anki.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, like I also did like the MEXT, like they have these practice or like past papers and stuff, and I would do those, and it's kind of funny how like they have like elementary, then intermediate, and then advanced. How I'd get like 80% for the elementary and the intermediate, just because I didn't know how to like write a lot of this stuff, and like and then for the advanced, like I'd still get like 70, right? So it's like it's like that much harder, but like you're capped by like what you spend your time doing, I guess. Yeah,
that makes sense. So I guess like what does your immersion look like today?
Okay, so today I mean, like I said, I've been doing finals, so I haven't been immersing that much. But I'll, you know, I have like a private Discord server with some of my friends who, you know, are learning Japanese. So we'll often like watch anime together, or like stream games that we're playing. You know, I play visual novel sometimes. I guess like I'm also probably like pretty ADD. And so I'm like looking at getting medicated for that. But that's something that like I really struggle with, is that I'll have like this huge like backlist of things, like books I want to read, games I want to play, and I'll like try to make myself do them, but then it's not fun because I'm just doing it because I feel like I have to, right? It's like gotta get rid of the backlist, and then that's something that's really stressful for me because it's like, what the fuck am I doing with my life? Can I swear by the way? I don't know.
Yeah, all good.
Okay, cool. And so, like, yeah, like, I know some people who have, like, a book walker with, like, you know, 170 books that they read in the last 3 years or something, and I have, like, 17. And it's not like I don't like reading. It's not like I don't immerse. But it's just, like, having that mindset of, like, having to log everything, and it's really, really, like, detrimental for me, I guess. So, yeah, immersion is that's something about it that's really hard for me. But, yeah, I'll play games. Watch anime. You know, I've gone through phases of, you know, there's a lot of Japanese YouTubers I really like Kyo or like Ishizawa or like Koichi TV is really, really good. I guess we can put them in the description, the edited version. I mean, even at the stages where I've been super anxious and really like worried about how much immersion I've done, like I still use these like 3 hours a day.
Right. And I guess like being anxious about immersion, is that more like anxious that you're not improving, or anxious because like maybe there's like a big expectation in the community, like, oh, it's like 3 years, you're supposed to be this good.
I mean, it's also just like you'll see people who, like I said, they don't have like the same like motivation. I wouldn't call it like a motivation problem, but the same problems with like doing stuff. And you'll see them like making these huge like data sheet of like all of their tracking and stuff. And it's like
Stevie.
Yeah. Like I don't want to call that out, because like individually, if that's what helps you, then go for it. But I feel like in the community, there's this sense of like one-upmanship where it's like, oh, look at how much I do. And you're just a poser because you only do 2 hours of immersion a day. Don't you know that you're never going to get good if you... I'm like, I just hate that because it's like so damaging. And like we're all doing this to have fun at the end of the day.
Yeah.
And it doesn't feel like it sometimes, right? But I feel like that mindset and like that internalized... like that's been the most damaging thing for me learning Japanese, if that makes sense.
Right.
But yeah, there is an external part of it, because you want to feel like validated by your community. But it's also like internally, like I feel like if you've put so much time and effort into this thing that you love, and then, you know, you get people like looking down on you and being like, oh, you're such a scrub because you do that. Like that's just so heartbreaking. And it's like, it starts making you hate the thing that you love. Right.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Right. I guess, have you kind of dealt with that then, in terms of, because that's something that's been prevalent in the community for quite a while now. Yeah. Right. And I mean, yeah, you're still going strong at it. You're still getting your 3 hours of immersion in each day. So what kind of drives you?
I mean, like, I don't really do that much in English, I guess. And it's like that. It's something that, like, whenever you like see people on Discord or like even IRL, who's like, I want to learn Japanese. How do I get started? What textbook do I use? I mean, like, when it comes down to it, it's like when the option of watching stuff with English subs exists, it's like, if you have a bad day at work, or, you know, you're super tired, you're always just going to like want to do the easy thing. You're going to make excuses. Right. But when it's like doing stuff in English isn't an option, right, then you adapt. And within a month, it's like, it's not watching anime in Japanese. It's just watching anime. Right. And so, I mean, that's like the real secret, I think, is just not playing video games in English and stuff. And I mean, like, you can make exceptions. Like for me, like the fourth season of Rick and Morty never got a Japanese dub. Right.
So can't so watch, yeah, it.
They'll never know what happens.
Never know. Rick and Morty, what's that? And I think, like, just being healthy about it, like, yeah, it's hard. It's hard to find that balance. Because I guess, and it's also an individual thing. Like, some people, they can be perfectly like mentally stable and healthy where Japanese, yeah, is the only thing in their life. But yeah, for other people, it literally will drive you insane. Okay.
Yeah.
So I think you need to find for yourself. It's like, are you the kind of person who needs to be focusing on other hobbies as well? And if so, or other important stuff in your life? And if so, like, how are you going to find that balance? And I'm kind of like jealous of the people who, instead of like being super into music and stuff, are like really into drawing, because you can always listen to a podcast while you draw, right? Or like watch something on another screen. So like, that stuff like that, like, I at the beginning of this year decided I'm gonna try to get better at singing, right? And it's like, even like reading lyrics as you're singing is reading practice, right? Because, you know, you have to know how to pronounce the word in order to be able to sing it, right? So like, never allowing yourself, like, I'm never gonna use the romaji, you know, I'm just gonna like look up every word I don't know, I can make cards for that, you know. And just like looking at how you can find that balance of like not feeling like you're not doing any Japanese and then you're wasting your time, but also, you know, enjoying stuff that you enjoy, you know.
Right. Yeah. I mean, you mentioned singing just now too, which I want to get into, but we also have a quick question from Otter Power over here of, yep, for you, Miso. And he says, how did you find out about immersion learning?
Okay. So good question. So like I said before, I watched that Rod in Japan video about RTK, and then I was like, makes perfect sense. And, you know, I got super like red filled about RTK, if that makes sense. And then I don't know how it must have just come up on my YouTube recommendations. And I saw like Matt's video about why RTK is the best way to learn kanji. It's funny now because like that those opinions, like, you know, in terms of the community, they're, you know, under fire or whatever. But then I was already sold on it. And so I was like, hey, this is a smart, intelligent guy affirming stuff I already believe, right? So right, that's why I started watching his other videos. Yeah, and it was a different time back then, because there wasn't Refold. This was before MIA. This was before any of that stuff. So it was interesting, like, watching the videos, like watching the input hypothesis video where it's like the mirrored like Japanese movie with like the balloons and stuff. Like, I don't know if you guys know what video I'm talking about, where Matt would be like, oh, as Steven Crash, or like the input hypothesis is at the core of all of AJAT. And I'm like, what the hell is AJAT? You know, it's like all of these videos like assume that you have so much knowledge. And so you just had, I had to like watch all of them and like slowly piece together this thing. And yeah, like obviously I went down the thing of like trying to convince my friends, trying to convince everybody I know, why this is going to work and why this is, you know, pretty cringe. yeah, I hope that answers your question.
Yeah, Otter Power says RTK pill Lamau.
Yeah, that's how I get this.
Yeah, but I guess going back to the singing here, so
Yeah.
For singing, you do sing in Japanese, right?
Yeah, it's hard. Because like I said earlier, like how vowels are different in Japanese and English, and like the placement's pretty different. So like, for example, like if I'm speaking English, you know, I'll speak like this. まあ日本語ではなんかこんな感じになるけど, you know, like the quality of your voice has to change to accommodate for that. And there's a whole bunch of stuff. Like, you know, it, when you say like, ah, in English, it's like, ah, and there's like this like trail off where it's like, oh, and then there's like whatever. Whereas in Japanese, it's like, ah, you know, it's like super choppy, super defined. And like the vowels are tuned differently. So like that's a really hard thing that I'm dealing with, I guess. I guess, yeah, that's the hardest thing about singing in both languages. And then I guess like one thing I really struggle with Japanese songs is that I know a lot of like anime songs. And so I'll go to like a karaoke server or, you know, karaoke server, and I'll only know like the TV size. I won't know the second verse and stuff. And like, just give up halfway. Cringe, but, yeah.
Yeah. Nice. I guess like, does having like a background in music, you think, help you with better pronunciation in Japanese? Yeah, for sure.
I think like when I started like showing interest in Japanese at like, you know, 13 or whatever, yeah. I like started like singing anime openings. I can remember at the time also like going through like the gojuon and being like ah, I, u, e, o, and like, and so I feel like that early exposure did help with pronunciation and stuff. Obviously like I didn't acquire a pitch accent or anything, you know, magical like that, but I do think that helped. And then when learning pitch accent, like music, I think helped with pitch accent, but it's like a double-edged sword because it can actually like screw up your perception in some ways. So like hebang, like for those, I'm not going to assume everybody knows about pitch accent, but in Japanese, like there's different patterns, right? And there's this pattern called hebang where it's like completely flat in theory, right? And so what's the word like gakko, you know, it's like supposed to follow that contour, right? But there's some people who would make it drop a bit, gakko, like at the end, and like that kind of stuff really screwed up my perception because like I had relative pitch, I could hear that it was a drop, I can tell you, and dun 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 dun, okay, that's a major second, it's dropping by a major second, why is it still like flat? And
you should ask that to the Japanese person.
Like, I mean,
this is a Heivan word, you should not drop by a major second.
yeah I mean, what I would do is that I can remember back on the Patreon server back in the day, I like said to Matt, like, hey, or like, why does this word sound like this? It was like, uto uto, which is like to be like kind of like, I don't know, drowsy, I guess. Oh. And then in the sentence card, it was like, uto, like, you could see it in like a pitch analyzer that it went up for the to, so it went like uto uto, but like not that much, so it was like still heard as like yeah, if you don't know pitch accent, this must suck, so I'm gonna wrap this up, but the point is, if you actually analyze the pitch, it wasn't like what it should be for that pattern, but that pitch accent isn't about like the individual pitches, it's about like the flavor of each of the four patterns, and that was something where like music kind of got in the way. But I think in the, like overall, it's been like a net positive.
Right. Do you think there's anything about the aspect of like practicing an instrument and getting good at that and taking over that like sort of skill of how to get better for Japanese?
I mean, at the moment, like I've been trying to do like some that kind of like drilling and stuff. Like I've never been good at shadowing. Like my short-term memory is just not good enough. Like I hear it, and then I forget it, like, and while I'm saying it, I don't even know what the word is anymore. But I've been trying to like get back into doing that, even if it's like there's a thing called chorusing where you like take just like a single phrase and you like loop it, and then you just go over and over with it. And I think like mechanically,
and the same for guitar, right? Wait, are you talking about guitar, or are you talking about like Japanese?
That was for Japanese, but yeah, in guitar, like that's something you do, and. For a guitar, I mean, what's very common is that, like, firstly, you use a metronome, you start at a lower tempo, and then you increase the tempo as you get more comfortable with it. And I definitely think that can apply to Japanese. I mean, I personally didn't do that. I'm trying to do that more now, but yeah. So I can't say for sure either.
Yeah, like in the Chinese learning, like Chinese learners, like high level Chinese learners, there's this one guy, this French guy, that sounds like pretty much completely native. And Xiaoma, he interviewed him, and he used to be like a professional musician, but he had to like, he had like a wrist injury or something. And he said like, what he did was when he started learning Chinese, he would just study for over 12 hours a day. And that's just because it was normal for him, because he would practice the instrument for like 12 hours a day. And that's how he got to like native level in like 5 years, basically.
Yeah, that's really cool. Like I do feel like there is a certain amount of like mechanical, like you just need to like learn like how to tune your vowels to sound like a Japanese version of ah instead of ah or whatever. And that you need to practice that. But and like listening back and like realizing that there is a problem and then trying to fix it. I think if you like keep that process and you're constantly trying to look for stuff to improve on, like you'll definitely, there's no way you're going to get worse, right? So.
Right.
Yeah.
And we have Trash Gray in the chat here, who actually just started learning Japanese. So I think it's a good place to, congratulations for real. And I think it's a good place to ask, I guess, what would your advice be to someone who just started learning Japanese in terms of they just learned like hiragana, for example, like where should they go from there? Because like we mentioned before, there's so many resources out there, but I mean,
Okay. I mean, this is a hard question because my history of dealing with beginners has been very embarrassing. Like at university, I gave like a lecture to some people learning Japanese. And like, at the time I was just like, I'm not going to teach you anything. Here's Tsuredzure Children, raw, good luck. And so I want to repent on my past failures and try to give good advice. So firstly, like I was talking about before, do your best to figure out why you're doing Japanese and set goals according to like why you want to do it instead of what you feel like the community will like, you know, judge you for or whatever. Like, oh, you're a poser because you need to do this much or whatever. Like, that's the first thing. The second thing would be, as much as possible, look for content that you're going to enjoy with Japanese and stick with it. The next thing would be like, so I did RTK and I wrote down everything. I wouldn't recommend that. I've never done the core 1K, JP1K, whatever it's called. So I can't really comment on that. I also never did the JLPT books. I've heard that they helped a lot of people, so I can't really talk about that. But what I would say is that it's really important that you find a beginner resource that gets you through basic grammar. And I would try to get through that as quickly as possible. So you don't want to be spending more than 3 months on basic grammar, I don't think. Anything more than that, and you risk like having that like beginner, like for example, like I want to learn to code, and then you go to a website, and then like here's some examples of how to do JavaScript, and you just like hop from free course for the rest of your life. It's like you're never gonna escape that if you don't set a cutoff for yourself. So I'd say like 2 or 3 months, get through all the basic grammar. In terms of kanji, I still personally think that there is a lot of benefit for learning about how radicals work and like learning to see kanji in terms of radicals. I know that like with the JP1K, they're taking more of the approach of just like learn it like a face, just like look at it and just like whatever. If that works for you, sure. If you're having problems with it, look into doing something like recognition RTK. Again, like that's not like canon advice of like refold or whatever. But I would say that like definitely knowing radicals has been a huge asset for me personally. And then from there, definitely don't be super concerned. Like when I was in high school, so before I found out about immersion, I actually like went to Japan for 2 weeks and I bought like raw manga while I was there. And like I take like a book and I would like write out every sentence in Japanese, and I try to like translate it, and I would go to like Hello Talk and try to like be like, why does this mean this? Or like, why are they saying it like this? Don't do that. Just like focus on understanding what you can understand. Don't beat yourself up. Try to have fun. And another thing would be when you're like a little bit better. So like you've been doing it for a year or two, you know, you're like, I think outputting is one of those things. This is really controversial, but I don't feel like early outputting like is a good thing, but I feel like once you're, you know, you can understand the majority of your input, doing it here and there, as long as like the ratio is like 1% output, 99% input, I feel like that could, you know, really be good for your motivation and stuff. Especially like if you can find a Discord server or something where you can like be part of a small community and like really make connections through Japanese, I feel like that's something pretty cool. If you have any other questions about like more specific advice, just feel free to ask more. But yep. I think that's the gist of my advice. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I think that's pretty solid advice. But I guess like going back to like Japanese for yourself, like do you think what are your goals like with getting better and or even like possibly like moving to the country and stuff like that?
So like I said before, like I was scouted and like, you know, was potentially going to work for a Japanese company here with them offering to introduce me to like actual Japanese companies. And, like some of the ones they were talking about were big, like what's the one that's like DL site, but not just porn? DMM, right? They were saying, oh, we can hook you up maybe with DMM and stuff. And I have like done a lot of introspection and I found like I already have like my own like identity stuff that like I don't really want to go into. But like I don't think I can deal with having to make that my everyday life of just like trying to prove to people that I'm more than just like a stereotype or, you know. Also, like having to work at like an actual Japanese company with like the overtime and the whatever, and like this is your life now. There's no time for anything. Like, I can't do that. Like, I love my hobbies too much. If it was as like a composer or something, I really consider it. So, in the future, my plan at the moment in terms of work is like I want to do like programming and stuff, and hopefully, like you know, as a junior dev. If you can get good at your job to like do your job like pretty quickly and you don't want to take on any promotions, you can have a lot of free time to do your own stuff. And so like that's really what I want to do. And if music stuff takes off, you know, I can always quit my job, you know. And so, yeah, just looking at like that, like trying to find how I can work the bare minimum to finance the stuff I actually want to do with my life.
I mean, I think there's a surprising amount of people who do that now, like especially nowadays.
Yeah, with, I think it's a good
working
one.
Remotely,
for sure. But yeah, in terms of Japanese, like I definitely in terms of my music, like I am writing like bilingual music, so I feel like my ability to express myself through that, and you know. Being in control of expressing stuff the way I want to express stuff, you know, is a limiting factor that like I want to work on and, you know, have as much control over as I can. And then potentially I want to start doing YouTube stuff and like live streams and, you know, in Japanese. And it's just really scary to start, you know, because you're starting from nowhere being super self-conscious. And I mean, at some point you just got to do it, right? But yeah, that's something that I'm interested in doing. And like, actually, I found a Japanese server that does this thing called Kuegeki, which is like a voice acting thing. So you get a script and you have your role and you have to like, you know, read the script and like act with everybody else. Right. And I tried it a couple times and it was like super fun. It was like being in an anime because like the people were so good. Right. And I there was just this feeling of like, I don't want to make people have to compromise. And like ruin their immersion into the scene, you know, by screwing up a reading or stumbling over a word or, you know, having shitty pronunciation or something. And so there was just this responsibility of like, I want to get better so that I can participate in this thing that's really cool, you know.
Yeah, I think those are really solid words of advice and also a forecast into your future. And
hopefully.
Yeah, I mean, I think that might be a good place to maybe end the podcast.
Yeah. So if you have any questions, you can go send them in right now. We'll go ask the classic question to Miso and we'll close out the podcast. And at the end, we'll go answer any final questions you guys have before ending it out here. But leading into that, Miso, what is your message to the Korekara squad today?
I guess try to have fun. as much as you can, because like living with like anxiety and whatever like really, really, really sucks. So like try to make Japanese one of the good things in your life and try to like not feel pressured by anybody else and just, you know, have fun, improve because you want to improve for yourself, not for anybody else. I think that's my best advice.